How many of you know Charlie Brown, famous evangelist? No, I don't think he was an evangelist. Charlie Brown, famous Peanuts comic strip. There's one of those comic strips where Charlie Brown is contemplating life. And here's what he said. He said, "Sometimes I lie awake at night and ask, where have I gone wrong? And then a voice says to me, this is going to take more than one night." No, sometimes we lie awake at night and the dirty word that starts with a W, and it's not work, comes over our mind. It's the word worry. Anybody ever worried before? If you're an adult and your hand's not up, you don't understand the question or you're lying. Because everybody has worried. In fact, when stress comes, when difficult times come, it is what we go to normally first. Unfortunately, even as God's children. Now, it doesn't have to be that way, but many times that's where we go. When we're handed a challenge, we don't think biblically. We immediately go to worry, worry, worry. One of the most tragic wastes of our mind is when I allow my mind to be filled with negative thoughts and eaten by worry. Now, worry comes from a Greek word that means to divide the mind. To divide the mind. We could say this, that anxiety splits us right down the middle, and we have a double-minded thinker. And a double-minded man, the Bible says, is unstable in all his ways. Rather than taking away tomorrow's trouble, worry, by the way, can we do anything about tomorrow? No, we can't. The Bible says, don't bring anything into tomorrow, for tomorrow will take care of itself. A little bit of a paraphrased addition there. So worry, let me finish that quote. Rather than taking away tomorrow's trouble, worry voids today's strength. God's given us strength to make it through the day. God's given us His Spirit as Christians. We have the Holy Spirit indwelling us. And God has given us His Word. And God has given us His promises all through the Bible. And God has given us brothers and sisters in Christ, and we're not alone in this thing. It's not us against the world. I mean, we have God living inside of us, and we have a family. I'm talking about the Anchor Baptist family here today, and praise God for that. And so when I spend time worrying, it's just zapping me of the strength that God is giving me. And worrying about what's coming isn't going to solve it at all. We all know these things, don't we? I know them, and I still struggle at times with them. Suddenly, because of worry, my perception and strength are divided, and it takes my vision and it distorts it. When you look at the Word of God, it's clear. There's a way to go through difficult times and stressful times and not be divided. Worry divides. Worry divides the mind. Worry divides the heart. God did not intend on you and me, and us, excuse me, worrying. And it wastes energy. I'm not talking about mystical stuff, you know, but it wastes strength. Maybe that's a better word. And you know it, and I know it. You know, I mean, if we get over there and we get to sitting on our worry chair, I may just preach the rest of it from this chair right here. Ooh, that feels good. We preach, I mean, we get in our worry chair. We're going to be exhausted when we're done. And we're supposed to be sitting down to get some strength. And we sit down and we just begin to think about this and this and this and this. That's not what God has for you. That's not what God has for me. There's a way to think during stressful times. And I'll tell you what it's not. It's not worry. Now, the believers at Philippi had every reason to worry. They had every reason to fear or be overwhelmed in these thoughts. Here's some things that we've talked about over the last several weeks. There were those that were serving for selfish gain. We looked at that in chapter 1. There were, last 2 weeks ago, we talked about the two church members that were squabbling against one another in verse 2. So there was disunity there. I mean, there was a gospel that was being preached that was another gospel, chapter 3, verses 2 and 3 and 18 and 19. Some were very needy. Verse 19, we haven't even got there yet. It says, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. And so quite possibly there was some that had maybe some physical needs. And, you know, I'm not saying here today that I haven't been there, that there's been times where, you know, there was something that was on the horizon that was maybe a bill or a payment that was due. And how in the world is this going to get paid, or how is this going to get? But again, that's not the process of thinking that we need to take. Worry doesn't help at all. And so God uses Paul to give them a command or directive. You see it there in verse number 6. This is introduction, but it says, be careful for what? Nothing. Don't worry. Don't allow worry to come over you. He provided the Christians at Philippi. He provides the Christians at Burnaby an alternative. Today, we have an alternative to worry: thinking biblically. Thinking biblically. And by the way, worry is not biblical. So worrying is sin. Ouch. That hurt the preacher. Because didn't we just sing, God can do anything, but, or is that what? No, nothing's impossible. Thank you. Nothing's impossible. When you put your trust in who? Not your employer, in God. So then we shouldn't have to worry at all, because nothing's impossible. So what must I do? I must change my thoughts through God's word. Let's jump into this. Verse number 4. Verse number 4. Number 1, biblical thinking in stressful times. Number 1, think with praise. Think with praise. The word rejoice in verse number 4 means to be glad. To be glad. Here's something that is probably review, but it might not be review. So just listen carefully. Joy is a chosen response to the unchanging nature of our God. Joy is a chosen response to the unchanging nature of our God. That means that a Christian should never lose his or her joy, because it's not based on circumstances. Joy is based on the unchanging nature of our God. And we know this from the Bible. God does not change. I am the Lord thy God. I change not. No matter the difficulty, no matter the situation, I have to make a choice. When I remember God and who God is, I can rejoice. I can think with praise. It doesn't matter if it's my health is gone, I can think with praise. It doesn't matter if someone is attacking me, I can think with praise. Why? Because I remember the unchanging nature of our God. Now, people change all the time. I change, you change. Let's just be right here. Let's be honest here today. We should be honest every day. But we all change, but God never changes. And so when something comes into my life, I don't have to worry because God is good. I don't have to worry because God is faithful. I don't have to worry because God provides everything. Think with praise. To rejoice is to be glad. Turn to Acts chapter 5 quickly. Acts chapter 5, verse number 41. Excuse me. Acts chapter 5, verse 41. And they departed from the presence of the council. What were they doing? Rejoicing. Rejoicing. But they weren't rejoicing in what we would consider to be a positive event. They were rejoicing in something very difficult. You know, I was praying with somebody today, and they said this: God, thank you for the difficult. No, thank you for the persecution that you've brought into my life. I sincerely believe they meant that. And that's what these disciples are doing here in Acts chapter number 5. Because they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. Think with praise. When something happens in your life that you didn't intend to happen, and we could all give our list today, and let's not focus on the list though. Let's focus on an unchanging. Let's focus on a holy. Let's focus on a powerful. Let's focus on a loving God in heaven who is our Heavenly Father. And let's begin to think with praise. Letter A, the object of praise. The object of praise. A.W. Tozer said this: what comes into our minds when we think about God is the most important thing about us. Listen now. What comes into our minds when we think about God is the most important thing about us. Worship is pure or base as the worshiper entertains high or low thoughts about God. That's a challenge. Let me read it one more time. What comes into our minds when we think about God is the most important thing about us. Worship is pure or base, which means it's really low. It's really low. As the worshiper, we as believers, entertains high or low thoughts about God. How big is God? How powerful is your God? How wonderful is our God? How awesome is our God? He's all of the above. He's as high. He's as high as you can. He's as high as our mind can think, and even higher than that. Think with praise. Deuteronomy chapter 10 and verse 21. The Bible says, "He is thy praise, and He is thy God." Would you turn over there? Sorry. Let's look at this one. We try to look at as many of them as possible. Deuteronomy chapter number 10. It might be a verse you want to mark in your Bible. Again, thank you for being here today. Let's leave here thinking differently. Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 21, it says, "He is thy praise, and He is thy God, that He hath done for thee these great and terrible things." The word terrible doesn't mean what you and I think of as the word terrible. Like, you know, something happens, you say, that's terrible. It means great or awesome things, powerful things. But notice the last phrase, which thine eyes have seen. Well, I'd mark that phrase, which thine eyes have seen. Hey, everyone here, we have all seen God's great working in our life. Every one of us here on this Sunday afternoon, we have seen what God has done. He is thy praise. He is our God. He is the object of praise. When's the last time you praised God? In private. Driving down the road. Sitting on the bus. Sitting on the SkyTrain. Maybe you don't have to do it really, really out loud. But you can if you want. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. I think if we do a little more praising, we would do a little less worrying. I think if we do a little more praising, we would realize just how good we have it. I think if we do a little more praising, then when things come into our life, our praise is built up a little bit, that when something comes into our life with the Lord's help, we just run it right over with praise. Where we used to go to the worry chair, now we can go to the praise chair when something comes into our life. We can just praise God because He's good. Letter B, the opportunity of praise. The opportunity of praise. Let's go back to our text, Philippians chapter 4. That word rejoice means to be glad. Notice what it says, rejoice. What's that next prepositional phrase? In the Lord. In the Lord. We can all rejoice. This is kind of a little bit redundant, a little bit repetitive, but we can all rejoice when we focus on God and focus on His attributes. Psalms 20 and verse 5 says, we will rejoice in thy salvation, and in the name of our God we will set up our banners. The Lord fulfill all thy petitions. I think when a challenge comes in, we've kind of been hitting this already, but so we won't hit it much longer, but when a challenge comes in, that's our opportunity. When a difficulty comes in, it's an opportunity to praise God. And you know, that unfortunately, when everything's going right, we're not as prone to praise God. That's the way God knows how I think. God knows how you think. Let's get to the place where when every bill is paid, we praise God. When there's a lack of funds, we praise God. When our health is good, we praise God. When our health is bad, we praise God. When everything is going right, we praise God. When nothing is going right, we praise God. Rejoice in the Lord always. Hey, I'm the first one to raise my hand. It's hard to rejoice in the Lord when circumstances around are not seemingly producing joy. They're not joyful times. Difficult. That's where our walk with God is vital. So number one, think with praise. Number two, think with moderation. Think with moderation. Verse 5. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. What is moderation? Moderation is seeming or mild or gentle. In other words, we could say this. Moderation is contentment. Here's what Satan wants you to think about yourself. Satan wants you to think about yourself that you are a loser. But in Christ, we're a winner every time. You know, Satan wants us to think that we can't accomplish anything for the Lord. We can't serve God. We can't do anything for the Lord because of maybe sin in our life. And by the way, if there's sin in your life, there's a way to get that dealt with. Repent of that. Confess that. God will forgive you. We talked about sin a little bit in the first hour, and so I'm not discounting that, but God wants to forgive. God wants to restore. God wants to help use us for His honor and glory. Here's what someone said. Satan wishes to destroy my faith through suffering. God desires to refine it. What does he want to do when he takes us through the fire? He wants us to come forth as gold. He doesn't want us to come through the fire and be ashes. That's not why God puts me through the fire. He puts me through the fire to burn away all the impurities. He puts me through the fire to burn off all those things that are holding me back from being all that God has created me to be. Not to destroy me. God didn't save you and God didn't save me to destroy us through difficulties. He saved us, and then those difficulties come. Some of those difficulties are self-inflicted. Some of those difficulties we walked into, those stressful times. And even in that, God will take, even when we do that, God can take those and refine us and melt off all those impurities, and we can come forth as gold. Satan says, no, suffering is Suffering, Satan wants that suffering to destroy our faith. So my response to suffering ought to be gentle. It ought to be gentle, moderation. Letter A, moderation provides rest in security. Turn over to Hebrews, please, chapter number 13. Hebrews chapter number 13. Biblical thinking in stressful times. If you're not in a stressful time, you're going to be. Sorry, but I'm just being honest. It might be tomorrow. Might be next week. I don't know, but here's the good news. God's given us His Word to help us to think the right way when stress comes, when difficulties come. That we don't have to revert back to the chair of worry. We can go to the chair of praise, as we're talking about, and now the chair of moderation. Hebrews 13:5, familiar verse, I'm sure. It says, "Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. For he hath said," here's something to jot down, "for he hath said, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee." So that we may, how? Boldly. Are you there, verse 6? Boldly say. Not sheepishly, but boldly say, "The Lord is my helper." Can we say that together today? Ready? The Lord is my helper. Let's say it one more time. The Lord is my helper. Now let's emphasize Lord. The Lord is my helper. You know, that's wonderful to do in a crowd of, 100 people or so. You know what? When you're all alone and the walls are moving in, here's a promise. Lord is my helper. I don't have to go over here and worry about it. I can go to the Bible and say, "The Lord is my helper, and I will not fear." Worry and fear, they must be twins, eh? "I will not fear what man shall do unto me." Moderation, letter A, provides rest in His security. There's no one you can find security in like God. You can try to find security in a spouse, and we should have that with our spouse. I'm not saying we shouldn't, but you're not going to find it like you can find it with God. I love that thought, don't you? The Lord is my helper, and I will not fear. You know what? I think I would get that verse memorized, put it on a 3x5 card, and you know what? Just sometime during the day, something's going to come into our life this week, and we're going to have a choice to make. Are we going to worry? Are we going to fear? Or are we going to think with praise? Are we going to think with moderation? And it is a choice. When you worry, it's only because, when I worry, it's only because I chose to. We can think differently. Psalms 46:10 says, "Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth." Be still. And know that He is God. It's just so. Things are just flying around us all the time. I got this to do. I got this to do. I got this to do. I got this. This is coming. This is coming. Think biblically. Rejoice. Think with praise. Think with moderation. Letter B. Moderation provides rest and His sovereignty. Don't miss that. His sovereignty. Would you turn with me to the book of Job, please? Job chapter 23. Job chapter 23. Job 23. I want to make sure everybody sees this today. Job 23, verse 10. Job 23, verse 10. If you're there, say, praise the Lord. And not many are there yet. That or you were whispering it. I heard this section over here and a few over here. Are you there? Okay, amen. That's easier to say. Thank you, Miss Ross. There you go. I like that better. Look what it says. But He knoweth the way that I take. Stop right there. Whatever it is right now that's in your lap, and I'm not talking about your Bible, talking about the lap of life. Whatever's in your lap of life right now, God knew it was going to be there before you were even born. That's God, because He's sovereign. Whatever's coming into your lap of life, God already knows it's coming. He knoweth the way that I take. What else does it say? When He hath tried me, verse we were talking about earlier, I shall come forth as man. And most of us know Job's resume. Job had it all. A wife, children, barns, cattle, land. He had everything. He had everything anybody could want. Just like that. One by one. Oh, by the way, Job, this happened. Oh, Job, this happened. Oh, Job, this happened. And he says, He knoweth the way that I take. And when He hath tried me, I shall come forth. That's a good way to think. That when something comes in, God, You knew this was coming. You knew this was coming. God, what do You have in this for me? I refuse to go to the chair of worry and fear. Instead, I'm going to go to the chair of moderation. And I'm going to say, God, You knew this was coming before I even was conceived in my mother's womb. And You know what's coming in my life. And You know the challenges that are coming. And God, I want those challenges to refine me and make me to come forth as gold. I don't want those challenges to... No, here's a thought I just had. I don't want those challenges to define me. Some of you have gone through some very challenging times in your life. You don't have to let those challenges define you. You understand what I'm saying? Those came into your life for various reasons. Don't let the challenge define you. Come forth as gold. Some of the challenge is sin. Some of the challenge is bad decisions that we made. We don't have to be defined by sin. Let's be defined by God bringing us through and taking us through and knowing the way that we take and resting in His love and, as we said, resting in His sovereignty. Be an overcomer. Don't allow worry to rob you. What God has for you. God knows the end from the beginning. God knows the end from the beginning. Therefore, we can trust Him. Number one, think with praise. Number two, think with moderation. Number three, verse six, think with prayer. Back to Philippians chapter 4. Be careful for nothing. Underline that word, nothing. Be careful for nothing. But in everything, underline that word, everything. Or I guess it's two words, everything. So Don't worry about nothing. I think I just said something terrible grammar there. Be careful for nothing, but in everything pray. And supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. So there's three words there. Let's just list these three words quickly. Number one, we see the word prayer. The word prayer. What does this mean? This means an action of prayer addressing God. Okay, I'm just going to just flat out just say this. You need to have time to pray every day. Every day. Every day. And many times during the day. God says, I'm waiting to hear from you and from me. He's our Father and He's loving. And He wants to hear from us. So that's prayer. Number two, supplication. Supplication is a seeking and asking and entreaty to God. And so it takes it a step further and it speaks of persistence and urgency. So God just doesn't want us to come to Him and say, just have a quick time of prayer, although those are good if we can have those too. But then He says, you know what? There needs to be some urgency about these things, some supplicating on behalf of the missionaries and the specific needs that they have. And over and over, or maybe you have an unsaved, family member, a spouse or a mom or a dad or a cousin or a nephew or a niece or someone in your family that's not a Christian yet. And so you're going on their behalf. I mean, think about it. Everyone that's lost is one heartbeat away from hell. And the greatest thing you can do is pray for them. Supplication. I think of that word, persistence. Persistence, prayer, supplication, request. Request simply is a petition that we make for before God. A prayer request. So think with prayer. Letter A, think with prayer, letter A, without worry. Without worry. The word careful there means full of care. Full of care. Be careful for nothing. Don't be full of care for anything. Nothing means nothing. That's pretty deep, isn't it? Psalm 56:3. Let's turn over there quickly. Psalm 56:3, and let's just pray for God's strength as we continue the message. We're almost done. To me, this is a message from God's Word, as really every week, but you know, sometimes there are different passages of Scripture that, I don't know, maybe mean more to us than others. And God's Word is, we need all of it. I think this hits us pretty close to home today. At least it hits really close to my home. I mean my life, when I say that. Psalm 56:3, look what it says here. What time I am afraid. Psalm 56:3. What time I am afraid, I will trust in Thee. Pray without worry. What's scaring you today? I mean, what's putting worry and fear into your heart today? There are things. Trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord. Pray without worry, but also letter B, pray with thanksgiving. Pray with thanksgiving. It's right there. Careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Thanksgiving. I quoted this verse earlier, 1 Thessalonians 5:18. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. You know something I'm learning God always sustains us. God always sustains us. Always. When I am weak, He is strong. God always sustains us. Little is much when God is in it. Labor not for wealth or fame. There's a crown and you can win it. Little as much, God always sustains us. You need sustaining today? Don't turn to your abilities or your talents. Turn to the Lord. You feel like the walls are starting to come and they're coming in faster and faster and faster? Kick that chair of worry out of your house and out of your life, and kick that chair of fear out of your life and out of your house, and get over to the prayer, get over to the seat of praise, and get over to the seat of moderation, and get over to the seat of prayer. Number four, think with peace. Think with peace. Verse 7. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding. I can't believe God did that. God is amazing. I can't believe God is sustaining me through this. Humanly speaking, I should have quit a long time ago. But God is sustaining me because I'm thanking Him and I'm praising Him. And I realize that He is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that I ask or think. And then the peace of God, it goes beyond our understanding. There's no way that I should be still having a smile on my face. You look, there are people here today that if we knew one another's testimonies, it would blow our minds at what some people have gone through. And yet you today are in church, holding a Bible, wanting to get closer to God. And I hope we all are. And let us give praise to the Lord for that. That peace is beyond our understanding. God is amazing. Don't let worry rob you of that vision of God. Think with peace. Letter A, a heavenly design. A heavenly design. What does this mean? I've said it before, and I won't belabor the point. Just briefly, I'll try to do it briefly. But peace with God produces the peace of God. It's not the same thing. Peace with God produces the peace of God. Let me show you quickly Romans 5. Romans 5. Romans 5. Mark this verse down. Refer to it. Romans 5. And you might be here today, and you might this is what you came to hear right here. You said, no, I came to hear a lot less. Can you hurry up? I'm ready to go home. No, we need more of the Word of God. But you know what? Maybe you're here today and this was the verse God had for you. Right here. You know why? Because look what it says. Therefore, being, what's the next word? Justified. 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 Romans 5:1. Therefore, being justified, what does this mean? This means that we are in the proper standing before God. We are justified. By what? Faith. By faith. We have, what's the next word? Peace. So before you're justified, you have no peace with God. So if you're not saved today, here today, you have no peace with God. You're condemned. The Bible says, you're condemned. But you can change that today. God can change that today. We have peace with God through who? Our Lord Jesus Christ. The same thing can happen to you that happened to me when I was 9 years old. I recognized my need for a Savior. I recognized that I was a sinner. I recognized that my sin because of sin, I deserved to go to hell. And I recognized that the Bible says that Jesus Christ paid the penalty for my sin. He was buried. He rose again the third day, the death, burial, and the resurrection, the gospel. And so I could be justified through Jesus. And when I got justified through Jesus, I also got peace with God. You can have that today. Don't leave here without the peace of God. You can't get it at Walmart. You can't get it anywhere except through Jesus Christ. But look at verse 2. By whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Peace with God produces the peace of God. So when I got saved, I made peace with God, so to speak. And then that gives me the opportunity to live my life, as it says in verse 5 there, that we can have the hope of the glory of God. That's the peace of God. You're missing that peace of God. It's only because we're not claiming it. You can have that today. It is a peace that is a heavenly design. Letter B, it is also a helpful design. Notice the word shall keep. Let's go back to our text quickly. Shall keep. Shall keep. The word shall keep is a military term. It means shall mount guard. Protect. The peace of God passeth all understanding and shall keep your hearts. The peace of God guards my mind. Colossians 3:15, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Think with peace. Think with prayer. Think with moderation. Think with praise. And one more. Think with purity. Verse number 8. Think with purity. Here we find a prescription of maintaining biblical thinking in stressful times. In letter A, we see the pure thoughts are described. Notice them. True, honest, just, lovely, of good report. There's 5 of them. Pure thoughts described. The word true. Loving and speaking the truth. We're going to have a hard time thinking purely if we don't love and speak the truth. Sanctify them through thy word. Thy word is truth. How about honest? I'm just going to give you just a brief definition. You could probably talk for half an hour on each of these. I don't have near enough wind left for half an hour on each of these. Honest, okay? This is what we need in 2019 amongst God's people. Honest means godly character and honorable. Godly character and honorable. The word just. I'm just going to read these. The word just means righteous and upright. Righteous and upright. The word lovely. The word lovely means acceptable. It means pleasing. These are the things we're supposed to be thinking about. A good report means sounding well or highly regarded. Letter B, pure thoughts developed. So we read the list. Now, how do we maintain it? Well, simple, but it's not that simple. Make it a regular way of thinking. It said think on these things. So the word think means to concentrate. You know, I went to the dentist the other day. And I remember going to the dentist when I was a kid. I've been only a couple of times since I was a kid, but I went to the dentist the other day because I had this chip problem on my tooth. And I've had it for a long time, and anyway, it was finally time to get the thing fixed. But I didn't went in there, and he started doing their, they said, do you want to lean back and watch TV? I said, what? And so they leaned me back, and they got this screen on the ceiling, and they handed me the remote. Really? Do we need to be entertained at the dentist? I guess maybe they've done studies and maybe that's helpful to do. I don't know. Maybe it takes people's mind off of the root canal or whatever, all that stuff going on in there. So maybe there's something good to it, though. I'm giving that because our concentration level has decreased. I love technology, but many times it takes away from our attention span. Kids' attention span today is so small. I just say this, be careful how much you expose and you put children, small, older, so forth, in front of the television all the time. Because there's something going on behind that thing, and it's changing all the time, and it's hard for them to learn how to concentrate. It's hard for many of us sometimes to learn how to concentrate. Think on these things. In other words, switching from stressful to biblical. Stressful thinking, let me just tell you, and you know what I'm about to say. It's easy. It's easy. Anybody can think stressful thoughts. You know what? We got to commit some verses to memory so that we can think biblical thoughts. Switch it over. Concentrate. Think. That's what it means. Switch it over. Think on these things. Here's some advice. Avoid anything negative and critical if at all possible. Avoid anything negative and critical if at all possible. The word virtue there is moral goodness, moral excellence. If there be any virtue, or if there be any praise, commendation. Here's something. Approved thoughts by God will also produce approved actions. Someone that's not living right, normally it's because they're not thinking right. What are we putting into our eyes and ears? I hope it's not something that is against the Philippians 4:8 test. It's a great test, isn't it? The enemy would love to fill my life and your life with constant worry and constant fret, fear. Worry prevents my faith from growing. The Bible tells me that without faith, it is impossible to please God. So worry could be preventing you and I from pleasing God in a more effective way. Here's a biblical way to deal with stressful life. Here's a biblical pattern to follow.